everyone. I'm Michaela, and welcome back to Lactation Station. Today, we're going to talk about supplements. And I've been seeing a lot of questions on supplements in various groups and forums, so I wanted to talk a little bit about them more in depth than, you know, maybe you should just take this or that. I did a podcast for a private group, and it would fit perfect for this. So I'm gonna go over it with you guys. But before I get into it, I wanted to take an opportunity to mention a couple of things. One, I received an email a few months ago that I wanted to mention here on my podcast, and I just simply forgot. A listener emailed me to let me know she had spoke with her doctor about lactating, and her doctor told her that there are no known long-term side effects from lactation. So while this is only one doctor saying this, it's still certainly good news. I also received a message from another listener a few days ago who was happy to share that she had found a doctor willing to help her with her lactation journey. She did say she had to cycle through several doctors who refused to answer her when she told them that she wanted to lactate. But perseverance and persistence finally got her the doctor that she needed, which is great news. It's unfortunate that she had to go through many doctors before she found one that would help. To find one that would help her is absolutely great news. Can you imagine how the first doctor felt when approached by a transgender woman? And she told that doctor that she felt she was a woman in a man's body and wanted his help on her journey. Honestly, I can't imagine the emotion that that doctor felt on how they were going to accomplish this monumental task. And now you can find a doctor to help transition you in almost every city. So just like at the time that was groundbreaking, in this instance, for a lot of doctors, women that want to induce lactation is also groundbreaking, because they don't get a lot of education on lactation in general. So having someone come to them and say they want to induce lactation is something that a lot of doctors have never heard of. So please, ladies, don't be afraid to talk to your doctor. Even if they are resistant at first, ultimately their job is to manage your health. And if they're not willing to help you manage your health, then you need to see another doctor. Or find another doctor. And they're out there. You know, you just have to find the right one. The next thing that I want to tell you is about a lady that I met online. Thanks once again to Carol, who has this uncanny knack for finding great sites and information. I am so thankful for her. She sends me information all the time that turns out to be extremely helpful. And she told me about a Facebook page called Avery's Lactation Station. And the owner of this site is a woman named Dee. And she struggled with milk production while she was trying to breastfeed her babies. She experimented with a lot of different ingredients until she came up with some great lactation edibles and drinks. She has brownies and cookies and just all kinds of stuff. One of her best sellers is called Booby Bars, and it's just packed with good galactagogues. And not to mention, she has a ton of testimonials on her page, all attesting to how well her products work. And everything she makes is baked with love in her own kitchen. So if you're looking for some lactation treats, I urge you to check out her Facebook page, Avery's Lactation Station. And just as a side note, she's also fenugreek free. So, I mean, for, you know, you ladies out there that don't want fenugreek, she doesn't use that in her products. I'm not 100% sure, but I think she does like dairy free and stuff like that. You know, you'd have to go to her page and check it out. But she's willing to work with you if there's something that you do want or you don't want. Like, her Booby Bars have coconut in them. And if you order them and you tell her that you don't want coconut, she'll leave the coconut out. So she's really good about working with her clients and stuff. And I just want to remind you whether you make stuff with Galactagogs or you order from somewhere like Avery's Lactation Station, you know, when you start adding vitamins and different stuff into, you know, like your cookies and your brownies, it will slightly alter the taste. So just remember that, you know, it may taste a little like, you know, a little vitamin-y or something. So just keep that in mind when you are ordering stuff from anyone, whether it's from D or if you make it at home, you know, any of that, you'll taste a little bit of that in there. Also, don't forget to join our Facebook group, Lactation Station 2020. We are a private group and we have a great community of women. If you're having problems on your journey and you need some help, you can go to my website, lactationstation2020.com. You can book a Zoom meeting. It's $25 for an hour, and you'll have my undivided attention to help you with, you know, whatever you have going on. If you just need support or somebody to talk to, because a lot of us are traveling this journey alone, and that's not okay. So if you need somebody to talk to, you can email me at lactationstation2020@gmail.com, or you can send me a text. My phone number is 702-785-1614 if you just need somebody to talk to. Okay, so let's get on with it. Now, this pod is going to be a little longer than usual. I'm going to break it down into two separate episodes, a part one and a part two, but just stick with me because I've got some really good information for you. And there are so many different kinds of supplements in so many different forms. Capsules, powders, tinctures, teas, you know, and a lot of times people are wondering, what the heck should I take? Rather than, because a lot of times, you know, I just say take this or take that, or I recommend you take this or you take that. We're going to talk a little bit more in depth about what each thing is. And I belong to a couple of different lactation consultant groups. And I've heard, you know, most of them, majority of them, say that Galactagogs don't work. That is true if you don't find the right combination, because everybody's body reacts differently to stimulation. And there is no one size fits all. It's really about trial and error and working through, you know, the different supplements, you know, just like anything else. I have a friend who has high blood pressure, and it took his doctor a couple of different tries with medication to find what was going to work for him. And it's the same principle with Galactagogs. You know, what works for Mary may not work for Sue. So sometimes you just have to sort through and find the combination that works for you. All right, so let's talk about individual Galactagogs and what they may or may not do. We'll start with the most popular and the ones you hear about the most. First, there are a couple of lifestyle changes that you can make that will help also. Make sure you're getting enough rest. Make sure that you're pumping on a regular schedule, and that means whatever your schedule is. A lot of times I tell people, you know, you should be on a schedule where you're pumping or suckling or whatever it is that you're doing 8 to 12 times a day. But not everybody can do that. You know, some people go to the office. Some people have small children, so you can't always do 8 to 12 times a day. So whatever your schedule is, if it's only 4 to 5 times a day, just be consistent with that schedule. Try to eat a healthy, nutritious diet. And I'd just like to interject in here that I just received my diploma as a nutritionist, so I'm really excited about that and kind of furthering, you know, how I can help you with the things that you should and shouldn't be eating or that are going to be best for you to eat. Stay hydrated. That's really important. But remember, hydration means drinking to thirst. So if you're thirsty, drink. If you're not thirsty, don't drink. Don't force yourself to drink gallons of whatever just because you heard you should be drinking 2 gallons of water a day. Being overhydrated is dangerous. And it can cause real problems for your kidneys. You just want to drink to thirst. If you smoke, try to cut back. And also try to smoke 30 minutes prior to a pumping or suckling session. Be careful of certain allergy medications. They can cause a dip in supply or dry you up completely. Anything with diphenhydramine or pseudoephedrine, I don't know how to say that, Sudafed, is a no-go. So that's Benadryl and Sudafed. Also, make sure your allergy medicine isn't a combination of those ingredients. Like sometimes, because you can take Claritin, Allegra, or Zyrtec. Those three are all safe, but don't take like Claritin D or Zyrtec D because those all have a decongestant in them. So, you know, you just want to be careful with spring coming and your allergies and stuff. You don't want to dry up your supply that you worked so hard to get. You know, I belong to a group on Reddit, and one of the ladies posed a question about age being a factor in lactation. And when we're young and having children, we have thousands of alveoli or milk cells. And as we get older, some of those cells do start to degenerate. But just rest assured that there are plenty of milk cells left to produce milk. If you're healthy and you take care of yourself, there is no reason you can't lactate. If you are postmenopausal and having problems, chances are that it's hormonal. So just get your hormones checked to make sure everything's in balance. And one last thing before I move on, it's important to remember lactation is about supply and demand. No amount of supplements will make a difference if you're not pumping or using your partner, or not using your partner, but you know what I mean, or hand expressing or something to remove the milk. The only way your body knows to make more milk is to remove what's there. Okay, so first on the list is fenugreek. Let's learn a little bit about it. Fenugreek has been around for approximately 6,000 years in some form, although some archaeologists believe it dates back to 4,000 BC because of some versions of the herb that was found in some pots in Iran. Ancient Greeks and Romans used it for a variety of things. They used it for burns. They made like a salve. They used it during childbirth. They used it in mummification. And they used it for fevers. So today, India is the largest producer of fenugreek. And you'll find it in a lot of their dishes. I didn't even realize until after I started lactating that Indian dishes have fenugreek in them, especially curry. So if you're a big fan of Indian food. And then for several decades, many new moms in India, the Middle East, and North Africa have been taking fenugreek in different ways to increase milk supply. The science on fenugreek is unclear, and there is very little high-quality evidence about the benefits. The FDA generally recognizes that fenugreek is safe. Some research does show it may have an impact or boost early milk production and may have less of an impact on mature milk. The Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology at the University of Michigan published a paper on increasing breast milk supply and recognized the use of fenugreek as a galactagogue. The Canadian Breastfeeding Foundation refers to fenugreek as an herb that contains pharmacological agents close to those used in lactation-inducing medications. Fenugreek has estrogenic-like qualities, and this could be why it works for some and not for others. If your estrogen levels happen to be a little high, and you may not even know that, you know, or if you're on a hormone replacement therapy, you know, that keeps your estrogen levels up kind of high, and then you add fenugreek to it, then you're adding more estrogen. And during pregnancy, estrogen is the hormone that's responsible for suppressing milk production until delivery. So if you have high estrogen levels and you add fenugreek, that could be why it stops your milk production. And this is just theory on my part. There's no science to back it up. But that just seems to me what's happening. If you're having problems using fenugreek and it's stopping or slowing down your supply, then maybe, you know, maybe that's why. Fenugreek also has a mastogenic effect, which means it helps with the natural swelling and growth of breast tissue. If you have never been pregnant and your breasts haven't reached the final stage of maturity yet, it's possible that fenugreek can help with that. Okay, so now we know a little bit about what it is, but does it help? Fenugreek is known to contain plant chemicals similar to estrogen, and estrogen stimulates sweat glands. So the belief is fenugreek stimulates the breast as well, because the breast is just a modified sweat gland. Some lactating mothers reported an increase in milk within 72 hours of taking fenugreek. Two things to be cautious about. If you're allergic to peanuts or chickpeas, you shouldn't take fenugreek. It's part of the same family. And larger doses can cause a drop in blood sugar. If fenugreek dosage is below 350 milligrams per day, you're getting no benefit from it. And I'll talk about doses a little later. Okay, so next up is goat's rue. And goat's rue comes from the same plant family as fenugreek. So all that stuff I just told you about fenugreek applies to goat's rue mostly. I've seen people that can't take fenugreek take goat's rue and have better results. So maybe the estrogenic-like qualities of goat's rue is more minimal than fenugreek. I mean, without, you know, the science behind it, I can't say for sure. But I have seen goat's rue work for far more people than I've seen fenugreek work. And again, the caution, if you're allergic to peanuts or chickpeas, you might want to stay away from this one. And like fenugreek, it can also lower your blood sugar. Goat's rue is very popular in the UK. And not only is goat's rue a galactagogue, it also helps to build breast tissue and is believed to work in much the same way as fenugreek. Just another caution with goat's rue, you should never use fresh goat's rue. It is extremely toxic. So if you don't want to use the commercially produced capsules, then your next best bet is to speak with an herbalist, because you should never just use it, you know, like the plant. You should never try and eat it, because it is extremely toxic and will not end up well. Two authors, Moresco and West, in 2019, said that goat's rue is a good general galactagogue and may be particularly appropriate if a woman has PCOS or gestational diabetes. They explained that goat's rue has galegin, G-A-L-E-G-I-N, which is the herb that metformin was originally developed from and may help build breast tissue. And I know there's a couple of ladies that listen that do have PCOS. So, you know, maybe goat's rue is something that can help with that as well. Okay, so next up is moringa, one of my personal favorites. And moringa is known as malungay or the miracle tree. And it is also a superfood, and it's used around the world to support nutrition. It has 12 times the vitamin C of oranges, 10 times the vitamin A of carrots, 17 times the calcium of milk, 15 times the potassium of bananas, 9 times the protein of yogurt, and 25 times more iron than spinach. It originated in the Himalayan mountains. And it is well known in many countries for its ability to increase breast milk and help with overall nutrition. In India, they make like a soup or a broth with the moringa leaves and feed that to pregnant women. And then after they give birth, they use the moringa to help increase their milk supply. So it's actually really good for women's health in general. So in a small study of 68 postpartum mother participants, they took either 250 milligrams of moringa twice a day or a placebo. And starting on they started that on the third day postpartum. On the fifth day, the moringa group showed a much higher milk production at 320 milliliters. The ones in the placebo group had 120. And there was no reported negative effects. Another small study involving 30 breastfeeding mothers found that those who took moringa had higher levels of prolactin. and more research indicates when breastfeeding moms ate 50 grams of Moringa cookies for a month, their breast milk had higher levels of fat, proteins, carbs, and vitamin A. In a survey of 85 lactating women who used fenugreek, about 45% had side effects of nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, gas, and allergic reactions. Moringa has no associated side effects. In a double-blind study by four doctors on the use of Moringa for increasing the volume of breast milk, they found that women who consumed commercially available capsules of 250 milligrams twice a day increased production by day five by 150 to 170%. All right, so the next one is shatavari. It's sometimes called the queen of herbs, and it's considered a rejuvenating tonic for the female reproductive system and is native to India. It is a diuretic by nature, and it helps reduce swelling and inflammation. A paper published in March 2016 in the World Journal of Pharmacy and Pharmaceutical Sciences was titled Shatavari, One Solution for Various Female Health Issues, and it highlighted shatavari as one of the most useful daily supplements for women. Shatavari increases the production of corticoids and prolactin. It also stimulates the secretion of steroid hormones that improve milk production. A case study in India involving 60 lactating women between the ages of 20 and 40 with breast milk deficiency, they were equally divided into two groups. One group was given 3 grams of shatavari per day. The other group was given nothing. After 30 days, the level of prolactin in the shatavari group was 3 times higher than any other group. Now, don't take shatavari if you're allergic to asparagus. And shatavari is a diuretic, so it can cause frequent urination. If you're already taking a diuretic, then shatavari may not be a good idea. That's something to be careful about. Okay, so then we have brewer's yeast. And brewer's yeast is a byproduct of beer making. It is a source of B vitamins and protein. It also has chromium, which might help the body use insulin better and lower blood sugar levels. Brewer's yeast has been shown to increase enzymes in the stomach that might relieve diarrhea and improve the body's defense against viral infections like the flu. Although I couldn't find a lot of information on how brewer's yeast works in increasing milk production, I did find that it's a very popular galactagogue, and it's also considered a superfood. Not only can it possibly help you increase production, it may also give you more energy and have a positive effect on your mood. I have in the past suggested a beer in the evenings for some clients who saw a positive increase, and on the occasion that I decide to have a beer, which is usually a blue moon, I also see a slight increase a few hours later. Then I want to talk about fennel. And there is a real lack of scientific evidence on how well fennel works as a galactagogue in humans, but research acknowledges galactagogue properties of fennel, as studies have found a significant increase in milk production in other mammals. I know from some scientific journals that I've read that they use fennel to increase milk production in both goats and cows. You know, I mean, it's not human milk production, but it does help increase with the cows and the goats. Okay, so this next part may be a little confusing. It was for me when I first read it. Fennel contains a compound called anuthol, which is a chemical similar to dopamine. And dopamine is something that I'm going to talk about later in the next episode. Since anuthol is similar, it competes with dopamine and binds with prolactin first, but preserves its milk-stimulating properties instead of suppressing it like dopamine does. Therefore, there is a boost in milk production due to the drop in the ineffective prolactin-dopamine compound. Some other benefits of fennel, some of them we know. You know, it's a food enhancer, it freshens your breath, it can increase libido, suppress hunger, aid in weight loss, lower blood sugar, promote healthy digestion, relieve menstrual problems, help balance the menstrual cycle, soothe the cough and sore throat, thin mucuses, loosen chest congestion, and it can treat stomach upset and gas. Oh my God, who knew that fennel may do all of that stuff? That's crazy. Researchers have found that regular consumption of fennel tea can help lower blood pressure. The fennel bulb is an excellent source of dietary fiber, vitamins A, C, K, and potassium. And laboratory research has shown that fennel reduces the intensity and side effects of PCOS. Researchers have also noted that fennel could be helpful in other gynecological problems as well. You can use the herb to add flavor to your recipes, but if you're hoping to achieve an increase in supply, I don't think that that's going to be enough. You can chew whole fennel seeds, but once again, I'm not sure if that would be enough. You can also eat the fennel bulb as a vegetable. You can eat it raw or cooked, but be careful if you decide to cook it because cooking changes the composition of some foods and cooking fennel at high heat kills the oils that you need. You can make a fennel tea. It's super easy, and I'm going to explain to you how to do it. You need 2 tablespoons of fennel seeds, bulbs, or leaves, or any combination thereof, 2 cups of water, 1 tablespoon of honey or sweetener of your choice. So what you want to do is you want to crush the seeds to release the oil, and you can use whatever you have handy, a mortar and pestle, a plastic bag, and a hammer. And if you have one, an electric coffee grinder, and that's probably going to be the best and easiest way to do it. If you don't have seeds, you can use the leaves or the bulb. Chop the leaves into large pieces, and if you use the bulb, you need 2 tablespoons chopped. Heat your water just until you see the water vapor rising, then turn down the water to a simmer and add the fennel. And just a side note here, bringing the water to a rapid boil will speed things up, but the higher temperature will destroy the important oils you need, so keep the temperature low. Now, I don't know if this is true for all teas, but when I learned this, I stopped using boiling water for my teas. And when the water starts to get to the point that I see the water vapor coming off and it looks like it's ready to boil, I take the water off the heat, pour it into my mug and, you know, with my tea bag, or if it's loose tea, and I still remove it from the heat and add the tea and let it steep. You brew at a simmer for 10 minutes if you're using seeds, and 15 to 20 minutes if you're using the leaves or bulb. Remove from the heat and strain through a sieve or cheesecloth into your mug. Add your sweetener here because it's easier to incorporate something like sugar or honey when your liquid is hot. Then let it cool until it's comfortable to drink, but don't leave it too long because there's the possibility the longer you leave it sit, the less potent it'll become. Fenneltea.org recommends drinking fennel tea in small amounts, no more than an 8-ounce cup per day. So, you know, you could do a 4-ounce cup in the morning and a 4-ounce cup in the evening if that's what you wanted to do. On livestrong.com, a lactation consultant by the name of Kelly Bonata, and you guys probably know her as Kelly Mom on her website, she recommends fennel tea as a method for enhancing letdown, but she noted that large amounts may actually decrease production. If you decide to try fennel tea, I would start with, you know, just maybe a 4-ounce mug in the morning and see how that goes. I know there are still a bunch of other supplements out there like blessed thistle, milk thistle, red raspberry leaves, and to me, I see these as supporting herbs that you'll see in an ingredients list for commercially made products. And I don't very often hear someone taking these individually, so I just tried to cover the big ones. Also, be careful with blessed thistle and milk thistle. Don't use these if you're allergic to ragweed, daisies, or sunflowers. Some good dosages. Before I do that, I just want to say I'm not a doctor, and these are only suggestions. you should always speak with your primary care physician or health care provider before starting any new vitamins or supplements. All right, so fenugreek, 2 to 3 capsules, 3 times a day. Goat's root typical dose is about the same, 2 to 3 capsules per day. Shatavari, ideal dosage is 500 to 1,000 milligrams per day. Moringa is 500 milligrams per day. And brewer's yeast is 3 tablespoons per day. And then, like I said, with the fennel tea, no more than 8 ounces per day. So, you know, maybe 4 ounces in the morning and 8 ounces or 4 ounces at night, or however you want to break it up. Okay, so I'm going to stop for there because we're like 30 minutes in, and I'll get going on the next episode and get these loaded together. Thanks for listening, ladies. This is Michaela.